Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben, you know, so soon we'll be playing the Century Tournament of Champions on the beautiful Plantation course. And I've had so many people say it is growing in so beautifully after the work you and Bill Kaur did. I am so excited. But today, there is no protection for that course. Maybe a little bit. Maybe it's a little breezy across the Plantation course, because, of course, we don't want everybody to have a really easy time. Right now, the Worldwide Technology Championship at Mayakoba is underway, and boy, we've got a tie. Of course, not really. 12 under, our leader is one over on the second hole. He's 12 under. Coming up, Justin Thomas, he's on the fifth hole, three under, and Joaquin Niemann, five under through eight. So they're all 12 under, and this is going to be a shootout. I can't wait to talk. Oh, by the way, Aramco Saudi Ladies International, presented by Public Investment Fund, Royal Greens Golf and Country Club in Saudi Arabia. Lydia Ko came out number one. It's so exciting how many events are being played on the LET Tour and how many great players are going over to the tour to play there. It just brings so many eyes on it. It's a great partnership. So this morning, I've got a great lineup for you. Ron Syrak's going to join us, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award, and of course, a lot more accolades coming his way. We'll have details. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Instruction, columnist for SI, Sports Illustrated. Morning Read is the golf section in Sports Illustrated, and he's one of the featured. He's a master PGA, so he's got lots of tips for us. He's going to share them this morning. Alex Forsyth, Director of Sales and Marketing, a PGA, Walt Disney World Golf, celebrating 50 years. And Brandel Chambly, Golf Channel analyst, commentator, board of director, Next Links. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24-7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood. Ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Iwile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store, and now in Iwile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Brandel Chambly, PGA Tour, Golf Channel analyst, golfchannel.com contributor, author of The Anatomy of Greatness, Lessons from the Best Golf Swings in History. He turned pro in 1985. He's won on the PGA Tour. Shared a first-round lead at the Masters in 1999. How exciting that must have been. Let's bring him into the clubhouse. Welcome in, Brandel.
Aloha, Danielle. How are you? Always nice to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you. And we're doing pretty good. A little humid over here, but it's a beautiful day to get out on the golf course and play around, or just to hang out together in the clubhouse with you, Brandel, talking a little golf. And I was, you know, you also went to the PGA Champions Q School, the PGA Tour Champions Q School. It was pretty close for you, and then you had some trouble. But I was interested in seeing some of the things you had to say about yourself, because you are a swing analyst. You're really good about that. And we're going to take up Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas, if you don't mind. But you said, I just want to see if I'm able to put to use all the things I've been studying for years and years and years and use myself as a guinea pig. But I was curious, do you watch yourself on video and critique yourself?
Yes, of course. Absolutely. You know, I don't quite have the time to give to it, you know, every day as I would love to. But of course, when I have the time, you know, it's not often, say maybe once a month, maybe I'll have time to get out there and really dive into it. And, you know, I'll talk it over with friends of mine or whatever. But of course, yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that go into, you know, great ball striking, a lot of them. But, you know, first and foremost, your body has to be able to do the things you need to do to create, you know, length in your golf swing and power and consistency. Your body has to work right. You know, I spending a great deal of time indoors, not outdoors, is not conducive to being able to do all the things I want to do. But, yes, I love it. And for the most part, when I played, I would have played a handful of PGA Tour Champions event. It wasn't my ball striking really that held me back. Every other aspect of my game certainly did. I enjoyed it. And I loved going out and competing again. I loved seeing the guys. I grew up with these guys. I've known them since I was 12, 13 years old for the most part, many of them. And I very much enjoyed it. And I look forward to playing a handful of events next year. You know, COVID sort of interrupted things. I had some injuries, some tennis elbow. But next year, I plan on playing a handful of events and going back to Q School.
Oh, exciting. That is so exciting. I would cringe. You know, I would be back inside my body watching the video going, how did I do that? That was not what I wanted to do. That's not right.
Well, it's funny. I think every golfer, you know, you could probably put Adam Scott's golf swing up in front of Adam Scott, and he could find fault with it. That's just that's the way golfers are. You know, you could probably put Jin Yun Ko's swing up in front of her, and she'd find fault with it. And yet, you know, we appreciate things in other swings that are problematic to us. But in general, you know, I look at my swing, and sure, I can pick it apart. But for the most part, it's not bad, you know. It served me okay. But it's not Adam Scott's golf swing, that's for sure.
So let's dive into Ricky Fowler. I mean, I love the kid. He's a man. And he's a wonderful personality. He brings so many eyes. I mean, we don't need the pip for, you know, when guys like Ricky are on and Justin Thomas, you know, let your clubs do the talking. That's really where this game is at. We don't need a bunch of social media hype other than performance. So, but Ricky's having such a difficult time. What do you see?
Well, I think, again, you know, the most dangerous thing a professional golfer can do is change his golf swing. I mean, the most dangerous place on a golf course is not a bunker or a penalty area. It's the driving range. And, you know, Ricky had tremendous success with one swing philosophy, basically his entire career. He went to another teacher and changed his swing philosophy, and in so doing, he immediately lost world-class speed and went from being a top of the line, top tier player in terms of producing ball speed to a middle rung or lower rung player in terms of ball speed. And everything else being equal, you're going to lose when you lose as much yardage as he did. You're going to lose almost, you know, three quarters of a shot in scoring average, and more than that, I think it proved problematic to him changing his golf swing, and he went from having 5 gears to essentially 2 or 3 gears because he lost a lot of speed, and I think it became so problematic to him and so attention robbing that he wasn't able to pay attention to the aspects of his game that made him a world-class player beyond ball speed, which is chipping and putting. His putting began to fall off after his ball speed fell off. And it is difficult to reassemble all of these aspects of the game a year or 2 or 3 years later without having scar tissue that holds you back. So, again, change for change's sake is very dangerous on the PGA Tour. And I could, for the rest of this show, talk about players who we no longer see in professional golf merely because they were making changes for change's sake.
You know, we often said that about Tiger every time he would change his swing, and I think some of them could have been not done. He would have been better off. But I can't help but wonder, Lydia Ko did some changes. Why Ricky Fowler? Why, when he was doing so well, why would he want to?
Well, his coach at the time was Butch Harmon, and Butch, you know, sort of famously retired, although, you know, I think he retired really from just traveling. You know, he was 70-something years old. He was tired of traveling, which meant that players had to get on a plane and fly to Vegas if they wanted to work with Butch. That's not a hard thing to do. You know, it's a 2.5-hour flight from where Ricky lives, and they got nice hotels and restaurants in Vegas. And, And it's an easy thing to do. But he decided to, you know, change teachers because he wanted somebody out there on the road, I can only guess. And it's curious to me how many players decided to change teachers merely because Butch decided to retire. You know, with Lydia Ko, all I would say is that, you know, I am not a fan of the philosophy of the coach that was working with her. He's, in my view, he's impoverished. Well, Michelle Wee being one of them. This huge point of restriction in Michelle Wee's golf swing. Not only did it make her hit the ball shorter, it caused her great injury. You know, she was always injured, always struggling with injuries and little aches and pains here or there. And the same move to Lydia Ko slowly began to rob her of her speed and accuracy. So again, you know, I always say when I do junior clinics, I say, you know, I say to these kids, I said, look around you, look at the people who are here now. Look at the teachers that have been with you since you were, you know, 5 years old. These are the people that have a great interest in you and are here just to help you get better. They're not there to sort of attach to your star for monetary gain. So, you know, you have to be very, you know, you have to protect your genius. And, you know, we saw, you know, the damage done by instruction to Michelle Wee. We saw the same thing to Lydia Ko. She hasn't yet returned to the player that she was because of the changes. It is, again, it's hard to reassemble the parts and come out on the other end as good a player as you were before you had cognitive chaos interrupt the flow.
Yes. Oh, that is so good. Cognitive chaos interrupting the flow. Because if you allow yourself to be you and to have your natural talent emerge, then start thinking, it's hard to get the thinking out. And
yes. Well, yes. By all, you know, I've said it a million times. I mean, all things being equal, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, experience will make you better. Experience as a player will make you better. You'll know how to control yourself better. You'll know how to hit this shot better under these circumstances from that lie. All of those things add up. But to continually, you know, want to switch from one philosophy to the next at the whim of somebody standing behind you is very dangerous. Are there exceptions, players that have changed their swings and had remarkable success? Yes. But they're few and far between, and they are... I would say they're dangerous examples because they give people the hope that they can change a golf swing that they've had all the success with as a junior, an amateur, a collegiate, and an early professional in the hopes of getting better. And, you know, very often it leads to their dismissal from professional golf.
Brendel Chamblee is with us this morning, of course, an analyst and commentator on Golf Channel. He's also board of director, Next Links Golf. And we're going to talk about that, a fabulous indoor facility that could be coming to a place near you. Many are in the works and planned, and I'm looking forward to talking a little bit with you about what you think of, you know, the going forward into the future, these Next Links facilities will do for the game of golf. But before we do, Justin Thomas, he seems to be, I mean, he was so dependable. I mean, that's a weird word to use, but, you know, you watching golf, you could expect him to be hitting it here and hitting it there and getting here and putting strong. Do you know what went wrong?
I don't know. I mean, I think he had a reasonable year. I really do. He had, you know, he played some fabulous golf. You know, obviously, you know, his high water mark was, I think, winning the Players' Championship. Previous to that, of course, he won the PGA. Mm-hmm. He'd done a great many things. I think his putter began to betray him a little bit. You know, he has, at times, been a very good putter. But he is, you know, spent the better part of this year really struggling on the greens. And again, you know, things like that, it can be a huge distraction. And, you know, you're trying to corral the cats back into the yard, so to speak. I think he's benefited hugely by a tremendous move. You know, he hits the ball very high and very long, and he's one of the best iron players in the world. So I don't worry much about Justin Thomas. You know, he's not switching coaches. He's worked with his father his entire life. You know, I'm hopeful that he will sooner or later stumble upon, you know, a few thoughts that help him on the greens, and he'll go off on these great runs. But the hardest part, or the part of this game where you can separate yourself the fastest, is with iron play. And he, along with, well, he's not quite in Colin Morikawa's class, but along with Hideki Matsuyama, you know, you're talking about two of the best iron players in the world. So he still has that, and that has not left him.
Does, when putting goes off, does it affect the rest of the confidence that you have in your other clubs?
Well, it can. It depends on how much it goes off. but, you know, I mean, you know, for a lot of players, you know, putting is it's like riding a wave. You know, you're up on top once, and, you know, it crashes on you. You have to be patient. But in general, you know, I've looked at players over the years who, you know, switch from coach to coach to coach to coach, and again, it's problematic. I mean, these guys are geniuses; they're athletic geniuses, and if they go out by themselves quietly and just, you know, I think there's great discovery there. If you can just get away from people, get away from the clutter, and just quietly work your way through it, you know, you can find your way to form or technique that serves you well without, you know, people in your ear. So, you know, I think that would benefit him greatly if he just get away by himself, spend a week or a month just focusing on rolling the ball and figuring it out on his own. I think that would help him.
Speaking of being on the greens, what do you think of the changes in the green reading book from the Player Advisory Council, approving them unanimously? The PGA Tour wants to put more skill emphasis in the game, particularly on the greens.
Yeah, I've never understood how they were even allowed in the first place. You know, I applaud them doing the right thing finally, but I never thought they should have been allowed. I mean, there is, you know, golf is. You know, a lot of it is about experience, and it's about not thinking about your putting stroke, because you need to pick up nuances in the green. And if all the nuances of green reading are removed from the game, well, the game is lesser for it. So, in addition, it will speed the game up. You will never convince me that green reading books don't slow the game down. I have too many video clips of players looking at, you know, green reading books for 15, 20 seconds when it's their turn to putt. And you compound that times, you know, whatever. There's 156 players, 18 holes. A fair number of them are doing it. And it slows play down. And it robs the game of, I think, what makes the game beautiful, figuring things out. You know, reading the sheen of the green, looking at the lay of the land, trying to match yourself, your body chemistry to the lay of the land, and then carrying on. So I think it's a good thing. It should have never been allowed in the first place, but they've corrected the problem.
Excellent. The artistry of the game is so much on the greens, and you said that so artistically. So thank you very much for that. On Greg Norman, CEO of Roman numeral 54, or Live Golf Investments, actually, you know, interesting that he's now announced that Sean Bratches and Ron Cross will become chief commercial officer and chief events officer, both having had experience sales and marketing for Bratches at ESPN and revitalizing the Formula One. Cross is 30 years in leadership positions with the PGA Tour. How shocking that must have been. What do you think?
Well, the corrupting influence of money, you know, never ceases to surprise me. You know, if you spend 5 minutes, well, more than that, if you spend 20, 30 minutes online and read about who now has become these gentlemen's bosses, it will make you sick to your stomach. You read about the atrocities that of the men of the regime in Saudi Arabia. You read about the horrendous things that are just a matter of every day coming and going over there, and you realize these are now their bosses. This is, you know, you could say it's reputation laundering. It's trying to launder, you know, the murderous amoral regime. And you'd be right. It is. That's exactly what it is. It's a regime trying to launder their reputation and trying to become a part of mainstream world while they commit horrendous acts against their citizens. They do not care about their citizens. They care about their reputation. They care about profit. And, you know, you think about tour pros that might go play on this tour, and you realize that tour pros, generally speaking, don't answer to anybody. You know, the tour officials can't tell tour players what to do. Caddies can't. Managers can't. Nobody can. You think about how many, you know, five-star generals answer to the president. You know, tour players answer to nobody. They get to choose their schedule based upon the convenience of their lives. They want to stop and, you know, go to a birthday party, a friend's birthday party, or come home and coach. They will not be able to do that. They will be playing for people that are going to tell them where to be and when to be there. No exceptions. And they will be, again, this is not, the money they're playing for is not dirty money. It's murderous, amoral money. And so, you know, I don't know how successful they will be at cobbling together a sufficient number of players who want to play for this money. I think in terms of leveraging against the current state of the PGA Tour, they're going to be able to leverage and be able to make some more money for superstars. But I just cannot imagine how players would, in enough numbers, commit to this tour to give it any legitimacy. But again, you know, the amount of money that they're willing to throw at it, the Saudis, they're willing to throw at this idea is going to be substantial, and it's going to give players pause. But again, if they spent 30 minutes online reading about the atrocities of the people who will then be their bosses, I think they would reconsider.
Good point. Next links. I had the pleasure of talking with Dave Schultz. And wow, I'm always excited talking with inventors, innovators, people who have a vision and follow it through regardless of how many years it takes. And, you know, we're talking about it now. This has been something I guess he's been developing for some 6 years. And you're on their board of directors as a board of director of NextLinks, which powers and pioneers the future of indoor golf by blending real gameplay with cutting edge tech, creating an exciting and fun experience for players of all skill levels, quoting Dave Schultz. This is exciting. How are you involved?
Well, the, you know, the golf concept idea, I think certainly Top Golf has been an eye opener to the golf world of people are interested not just in golf, but golf concepts and being able to go in, you know, as many gamers of the, as there are in the world, and people who want to participate in golf but maybe don't have 5-6 hours to give to it. I think that was a bit of an eye-opener with Top Golf. So this is going to continue on and expand on that concept with the added benefit of some great technology, bells and whistles, that I think will grab people's attention when they walk in the door and make them want to, you know, participate. You know, this is going to have a short game element to it, similar to a Top Golf concept. You'll certainly be able to smash golf balls into oblivion out there and have fun doing that. But it'll also have, based upon some very high tech patented technology from Dave Schultz, who's an extraordinarily smart man. I've looked at his concept. I've been to, he has a facility in Mesa, Arizona, that expounds on these concepts, and it's amazing, and it's fun, and it's vibrant, and people are lit up, and it has a gaming concept to it. So, you know, my job is to promote, to talk about it, and so forth, but also to participate in the ideas. We now have Nancy Lopez on the board, as well as, you know, some incredibly successful people in the world of business, in real estate, in finance, in technology. So it's a huge undertaking, but it's already got a nice trajectory.
Yes, and Dave Schultz told me that he couldn't say it, but there was going to be, and this is Nancy Lopez coming on board. This is fantastic. What I love about this technology is, as you said, you can bash balls, and then it will pick up where the ball would have landed on the green, and there will be greens inside the building, and these are beautifully designed buildings, and pinpoint where on the green you'll be putting from with a laser light. And it's just brilliant.
That's right. And the greens are going to be designed, you know, my architectural partner is Augustine Pisa, who I call Augie, and, you know, Augie has been, he's one of three people who's a member of both the European Golf Course Architecture Societies and the American Golf Course Architecture Societies. He's been in the business for 25 years, but heavily awarded in the golf course architecture world. He'll be designing the greens, so they're not going to be just flat greens. They'll be beautifully designed greens, and with the laser technology that will, you know, I think, augment the experience. So there's a lot going on. We have a couple of sites already chosen, and we've got some meetings that are coming up. So I look forward to seeing how this progresses.
Yes, it's wonderful. I think it's great. Brandel Chambly, NextLink's director. He's on the board of directors, PGA Tour Golf Channel analyst. He's going to be playing again on the PGA Tour Champions. I can't wait to see you out there, Brandel. It's been a year since we talked. I wish we could speak more often because there's so much I'd like to talk to you about. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Danielle. It's always a pleasure, and hopefully our paths will cross in Hawaii. Cheers.
Cheers. Aloha. We're coming back. We're celebrating 50 years at Walt Disney World Golf. Alex Forsythe, PGA, is joining us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door.
Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
Rainer Garage Doors.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. Ko'olina Golf Club's annual holiday sale is coming soon. One day only, this sale features some of the best golf products on the island. Apparel, shoes, and clubs up to 75% off. Multiple free prize drawings occur throughout the day. Here's a special offer for the Golf Club listeners only. Mention this ad during the sale for a chance to win a free round of golf for four players. Ko'olina's Holiday Sale, Saturday, November 20th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information and to register for the sale, visit ko'olinagolf.com/holiday sale.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Disney's Magic Kingdom first opened the Walt Disney World Golf. The gates were opened in 1971. Ever since then, golf has played an integral role in creating the diverse atmosphere that comprises the Walt Disney World Resort guest experience. But it's also been the site of many, many full-fledged championship events. And Jack Nicklaus is going to tell us on which course he played and when that was.
Well, we played the Palm and Magnolia course for the tournament. I won it in 71. I won it in 72. I won it in 73. Then they went to a best ball tournament. And Weisskopf and I were partners the first year, and we didn't win. But I remember going up there and playing, and, you know, they're resort courses. I played well. I won the tournaments, and we had young kids at the time, and we took them into Magic Kingdom every night, and we did all the things that parents do with the kids, and we enjoyed it. It was great fun. Disney has made a great contribution to the game. They had golf everywhere where they've been.
Alex Forsyth, PGA Director of Sales Marketing, Walt Disney World Golf, 20 years at Walt Disney World Golf. Born in Scotland and a PGA since 2008, he's been with Arnold Palmer Golf Management at Walt Disney World since October 2011. And Director of Sales and Marketing, he is responsible for all golf sales, which equates to over 200,000 rounds annually spread over 63 holes. He oversees the tee sheet management scheduling system, directs Walt Disney World Golf's marketing and merchandise efforts through the new facility website, email, print, via social marketing. Welcome into the clubhouse, Alex. I hope you have help.
Absolutely, and thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So you're celebrating our 50th anniversary. The celebrations are underway, started in October. Tell us, what's planned for the celebrations?
Well, we've got a lot on the books, and Disney World continually evolves. If you're standing still, you're actually moving backwards. The facility that we have is 63 holes in total, as you mentioned. And this celebration of the 50th anniversary, although the official date was October 1st of this year, it's going to continue all the way through March of 2023, about an 18-month period. We've got new merchandise that we're going to be launching. We've also got some new experiences with new membership campaigns and programs that we're going to be launching in 2022. And we've got a few other surprises up our sleeves to announce later in the year and early into next year as we plan for some major renovations.
I was fortunate to have been able to take winners to Disneyland for several years in a row. And the way folks like you make people who are visiting Disneyland or Disney World and the golf experience, I imagine, so special. You know, we feel like we're the most important people in the world whenever we walk on a Disney property. So what does the golf experience stand, you know, what stands out for the resort guest or visitor coming?
Absolutely. We really have so much to offer. And from the moment that you walk onto or drive onto our properties, you're welcome to the happiest place on turf. Which is our unique tagline, but we like to try and live it and breathe it every day, not only for the guests themselves, but also for our staff. We certainly feel as though if the staff come to work every day looking forward to having fun and making magic, that the guest is definitely going to experience that for themselves. We have an opportunity to present a magical and memorable golf experience that is unique to Walt Disney World, and you're not only not going to be able to get it anywhere else in the country, you're not going to be able to get it anywhere else in the world. We feel like everybody around us can certainly have good golf course conditions, reputable designers, great customer service. We have all of that, but we also have the magic of Disney, and so we try to interweave intellectual property that comes with being part of the Walt Disney Company into the experience, not in a whimsical way, but one that upholds both the honorable connotations that come with the name of Palmer and the Arnold Palmer brand, with those of Disney and the uniqueness and the theming that Disney is renowned for.
Excellent. Another four courses that are on the property. Could you break it down for us? Tell us about each one a little bit?
Absolutely. They each have their own individual appeal. We have two facilities, one with two 18 holes and one 9 hole. That is Palm, Magnolia, and Oak Trail. And that is more closely located to the Polynesian Resort. And for those that have been on property before, adjacent to the Magic Kingdom theme park. Whereas the second facility is Disney's Lake Buena Vista, and that is located on the opposite side of the property over by Disney Springs. Keep in mind, Walt Disney World is 47 square miles in totality, about twice the size of the island of Manhattan, about the same size as the city of San Francisco. So we are a huge landmass. takes about 12 to 15 minutes to get from one side of the property to the other. And like I said, Lake Bonavista is more closely adjacent to the likes of Disney Springs. Some people will recognize that as Downtown Disney, its former name. And that facility is 18 holes on the east side of our property, and that winds its way through a couple of the Disney resorts. You certainly, as you play that golf course, you certainly get more of a feel that you're at the Walt Disney World Resort, as that golf course intertwines its way through Disney's Old Key West Resort, Disney's Saratoga Springs Resort, and then borders the Treehouse Villas and Port Orleans. It also crosses over several canalways where there's riverboats that make their way up and down those canalways, taking guests to and from Disney Springs. So you get to see a lot more of the Disney atmosphere as you play that golf course, whereas the other golf courses on the west side of property, Palm, Magnolia, and Oak Trail, they back up onto the wilderness. So you got a lot more wildlife out there, and that makes them unique. You know, normally when you play golf in Florida, you're playing in amongst a housing community or a resort. And these ones, as I said, back up onto the wilderness. The Palm and the Magnolia, though, Palm was redesigned in 2013 by Mr. Palmer and his design company. Really changed the atmosphere of that facility. It has now really become more of a link-style playability and aesthetics. Plateau-style greens, relatively undulating, closely mown areas around the greens for significant runoffs, you know, grass-faced bunkers, kind of squared-off teeing grounds, whereas the Magnolia Golf Course has more of your typical traditional Florida style with relatively flat greens, rough growing around each of those. And like I said, it allows the individual that's coming in for a week's vacation to play multiple rounds of golf and not feel like they're getting the same experience every day. However, the guest service experience is going to be identical no matter whether you play Palm, Magnolia, and Oak Trail or Lake Bonavista. All three championship courses are PGA Tour caliber, have hosted the PGA Tour in years past, all the way from 1971 through 2012, and we like to celebrate that history throughout the golf experience with opportunities to engage with some of that history from the tour.
Who would you know, let's say, who would be best suited for, if they weren't the, let me rephrase this. Let's say I'm not really good and I want to play for the first time or maybe the 10th time. So, you know, I'm kind of a novice. Which golf course would you put them on?
Well, we tend to focus a lot on the championship golf courses that have all the history of the PGA Tour event. But honestly, when you are starting out, you want something that's not as demanding a golf course. It's a little bit more relaxed environment. And Disney's Oak Trail is the perfect location for that. It's a little bit shorter. It is a 9-hole course, and it is walking only. But the holes are not quite as long. They're not as challenging. Water doesn't come into play quite as much on that golf course. The greens are a little smaller. They're not quite as fast or as undulating. But it is a great stroll, you know, 9 holes of golf, 2 hours, a little bit of exercise. Really recommend that if you are a novice to the game or if you've got those with young families, that's a better environment, more suited for them there. And at that facility, Disney's Oak Trail, we also have foot golf to offer as well, which is a sport that's relatively new but is played throughout the country fairly extensively. We're one of about 500 courses in the nation that have foot golf to offer.
Foot golf. Tell us what, I mean, for the people who don't know anything about, you know, foot golf, what is that?
Foot golf is a game that is played with size 5 regulation soccer ball, and it is a melding of the traditional game of golf that comes with the same etiquette and playing policies and games that you can play, but it is not played with a small white ball. It's played with a large soccer ball and 21-inch diameter holes. So instead of learning how to hold a club and swing a club, the learning curve on foot golf is extremely short. If you can walk a mile and a half and kick a soccer ball while doing it, you're pretty well equipped to play foot golf. And I would kind of liken it to taking your family to play mini golf. Anybody can do it, young, old, male, female. You can get all three or four generations out there together, just enjoying the outdoors. You're going to see turkey. You're going to see deer along the way. You're going to see armadillos. We even have a peacock that frequents the facility. And really, it's just an enjoyable day out. Fun for the whole family.
You know, you make me want to go. Like tomorrow, on both sides for Lake Buena Vista, I want to go because of just the idea of watching the canoes or what goes on the canals, moving the people back and forth, just being so in the middle of the resort, it seems, and then in a way, but being away, but in the middle of it. And then I want to go to the Palm Magnolia so that I can feel that sense of rustic golf, being up against nature and seeing, you know, not so many things other than a deer coming across and an armadillo. I can't believe it. That sounds like so much fun, just seeing the little creatures on the golf course.
Now, well, I promise you, they're all real. We don't have any animatronics on the golf course, at least maybe in the theme parks, but not the golf courses.
Now, what if somebody's scratch? What course do you want them to play?
Well, honestly, the golf courses can play as easy or as difficult as you would like them to. Certainly, Magnolia is the longest of our three championship golf courses. But we don't set them up to tournament standards on an everyday basis. You know, we want people to come out there, enjoy themselves, not feel like they've lost a dozen balls and taken 5 hours to play a round of golf. That's not fun for anyone. So we set them up for those individuals that, you know, the average golfer on an average day, not to overly challenge them. Hopefully everybody has a chance to make a couple of pars or one or two birdies and go home feeling really good about the experience. But the Magnolia Golf Course is certainly the longest of those, and like I said, for those that are either novice to the game or just looking to be introduced to the game for the very first time, Oak Trail is much more suitable for that. And like I said, even for the non-golfers, we've got foot golf. It's kind of feel like that as another gateway to the game of golf, much like the likes of Topgolf.
Yes,
where you can come out, enjoy the experience. You know, we've got some great food and beverage offerings. We've got some unique, exclusive merchandise lines that you cannot get in the theme parks, only at our two golf courses. So take something home as a memento for those loved ones or friends or family that couldn't make the trip.
Wonderful. Alex Forsyth, PGA, Director of Sales and Marketing, Walt Disney World Golf. You do a great job, sir, because I'm sold. I want to go. I want to come and visit Disney World. World Golf, 50 years celebrating Walt Disney World Golf. Wonderful. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem at all. It certainly is. We're amongst this world's most magical celebration for the next 18 months. So if you haven't been or has been a while since you've come down to check us out, please be sure to do so. Put it on your calendar. And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Aloha. We've got our PGA Master coming up next, and he's going to take us into the practice facility, and we're not going to think too much. We're going to try to just absorb his information and take that to the golf course and have a great round of golf. Oh, by the way, if you'd like to play, we have at Poipu Bay a 920 Makalei. It's kind of chilly up country, about 57 degrees earlier, about 6 o'clock this morning. There's a 916, of course, on Oahu. Pearl Country Club sold out, but we keep calling just to try. Royal Hawaiian has a 920. Bayview has a 10 o'clock. Makaha East has a 912. At Wailea, we've got a couple of tee times open. In fact, they've got some time. 10:40 to noon is open. 11:10 to 1 is open. 11:40, 12:20, 1:30 on the blue. The others on the emerald and gold course. Give them a call. We'll be back right after this with Claude Brousseau, who is also on Maui. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Olina Golf Club's holiday sale is coming soon. One day only, top brands like Ralph Lauren, TaylorMade, Nike, Adidas, Callaway, Tommy Bahama are up to 75% off. Pick up an early Christmas present for the golfer in your family or treat yourself. We're having multiple free prize drawings throughout the day. Here's a special for the Golf Club listeners only. Mention this ad during the sale for a chance to win a free round of golf for four players. Colina's Holiday Sale, Saturday, November 20th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information and to register for the sale, visit colinagolf.com/holiday sale.
Now, you got to go to colinagolf.com/holiday sale because you've got to, for social distancing reasons, you've got to get yourself a shop time. So you go into the store, and of course, as you're going into the store, when you've got your shop time, and there will be walk-ins, but walk-ins will have to wait until there's room in the pro shop to go in and do the shopping. And, you know, 75% off on some of the things, it's a fantastic opportunity to do a lot of shopping for yourself and for a lot of other people who you'd like to get a great Christmas present or holiday present for. So what you do is you, there'll be some person, hi, this is I am, and I want to sign up for the golf club's four-round opportunity, a foursome at Ko'olina. I want to win that. So where do I fill out the form? And, of course, they'll let you know, and then you fill in your sheets. And I wish you all the best because we want you to win.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com. Or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Instruction, Wailea Golf Academy, that's on the Emerald Course. Golf Channel Academy Lead Coach, School of Golf is right there. That is Claude Brousseau on Maui. Golf Digest Best Teachers in Hawaii is ranked by peers. Number one, Claude Brousseau. Horton Smith Award recipient, Bill Strawbird Award recipient, two-time Aloha Section Teacher of the Year, author of Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game. He's a Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified. You can get it all with Claude Brousseau, and you've got to be the ninth winner, and you choose. Do you want a book signed by Claude, the one that he wrote, Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game? Or would you like a lesson with Claude at the Wailea Golf Academy? So you just have to call us. The number is 808-545-1111. 808-545-1111. Hey, Claude, welcome into the pro shop.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Absolutely. The last time you were here, we talked about your collaboration with Sports Illustrated, and Morning Read is the Sports Illustrated golf section. And you have a really cool section within the golf section. And what is it called?
It's called Golf Tip from Paradise. And it's exciting because it promotes, of course, golf, but it promotes Hawaii as well because they have the songwriter, Rycliffe, that compose, you know, just a little ukulele music. So for just that series of videos, it's called Golf Tip from Paradise. And then we cover all different aspects of the game and share my expertise to help people to play better golf.
That's
wonderful. I'm passionate about that.
That's wonderful. Some of the things that tell us what some of the tips are that you have in the videos.
Yes, there is 12 videos there. They just go, Sport Illustrated, si.com/golf/instruction, or just si.com and type my name and, you know, that search thing there. The last one, it's about playing the ball below the feet. And I like to make those videos fun first. Second, impactful in the way that people can remember it. So the last one, I use, you know, the ball never lies when she flies. And then when the ball is below your feet, the ball will fly in the same direction than the slope. So I use a little prop. It's a miniature airplane from Hawaiian Airlines. And then I just showed the same direction that the ball will go in the air. So that's one of the video there, how to play the ball below your feet.
Wow, so that's one of the hardest shots to make, isn't it?
It's a tough one for many golfers because the tendency is, because the ball is below you, and the tendency is when you swing, you feel you lose your balance forward,
yes.
And then the reflex is coming up now, and guess what? You top the ball. But with that video, you will learn how to set up correctly and have a better chance to make solid contact.
That's wonderful. So yeah, because that is you know you're bending over, your knees are, you know, aren't giving you all of the strength, and you got to have some pretty powerful thigh action there too.
Mm-hmm.
You to feel comfortable. It's something that one should practice. It's difficult to find a place to practice. Do you recommend going out and playing around where you have the purpose of practicing on the golf course rather than playing for score?
Yes, I do. That's a great idea, Daniel, and I recommend that. I suggest, let's say, just go when it's not a busy time in the courses. You know, we know many people like to play golf, but you can find a time that it's not so busy, and then practice different shot situation on the golf course, because like you expressed, there's not many places in the practice facility where you can experience ball above the feet, ball below the feet, and then it's good to go and practice that on the course and not be so, let's say, result oriented on the score, but more mastery of the execution of different situations.
Right, and you don't judge yourself. So let's say you make a mistake, you just drop another ball.
Correct.
Right?
Because we all have to remember, you know, everybody who plays the game, missing shots is part of playing golf. You just don't want to miss it too badly. And you have, like you said, Danielle, I like that, you have to stay process-oriented when you learn a new skill. Not so much what I would call result-oriented when you play for a score.
Yes, yes. Playing for score, it's like you're always on edge. You know, one of the coaching advice, number one, that you submitted to me when I asked you what would you like to talk about, the club you love the most. But you start off talking about how I don't like my wood. I don't like my fairway wood at all. I can't say that I hate my fairway wood. It's a pretty strong word. But it's not a go-to club, okay? So I don't even bother bringing it with me. And I understand that I'm probably not taking advantage of a really good club. But talk to us about, you know, how the love-hate relationship is golfers and their golf clubs, and clubs in specific, one or two.
Yes. That's true. Often people come here on the coaching team and they say, oh, I hate this club. But I say already, it's not a good state of mind for performance if the club you have in your hands, you don't like it. Okay, and then often I like to make this, you know, fun and people remembering stuff. So I will always ask the golfer, would you like which club Claude loves the most? Of course, they all say yes. So I say, that's the one that I have in my hands right now to do the shots. You need to love your club, whatever it is. Now, how would you get a better relation with your club is this way, Daniel. You go at the practice facility, and then what you do, you select a target. You put the ball on the tee. That's fine. Small tee, you know. And then you use, let's say, your pitching wedge, and let's say you don't like your three wood. So you go ahead and swing your pitching wedge. Watch the ball going, then you, the next shot, you do it with your three wood, let's say. Now, I like to remember the players that the weight of the ball is still 2 ounces with the three wood. And then you use your same body to swing it. So that means by that, using the same amount of energy, keep the same target. So this way, then the next ball, you go back to your pitching wedge. Then the next ball, you go with your three wood. So after a while doing that, you stay focused on the rhythm, the tempo, the quality of contact. If one of your friend will walk to you and say, hey, by the way, Daniel, which club are you using right now? You don't even know. You need to look at it because you stay focused on making solid contact. And basically, the rhythm of your swing, the tempo, the mechanics are the same. The issue when people don't like club is that they try to do something different and then they stay too focused on the bad experience they have with that club. So what they need to do is go to the practice facility and alternate shots with the club you love the most and the one you hate the most. And this way, they will blend together next time you're on a golf course.
So can I use like a 7-iron, which I love the most, and the wood, which I hate the most?
Oh, absolutely. You decide which club you love the most in your bag, and then the one that the relation is not so good, you're about to divorce the club.
Yes.
And then you see if you can reconcile that relation.
Yeah, you'd think I'd throw it away, you know, or give it away or something.
It's possible.
But, you know, it's like a child, you know, I can't give you up. I'll keep you in the bag, but I really don't like playing with you. It's not fair to the club either because obviously it has a purpose. And I understand that, you know, and I understand a lot of people have a problem with the woods. You know, what is it about the woods that makes
it? Yeah, Daniel, you see with the wood, that's why people have more difficulty, let's say. It's physics here. The club is longer, okay? So that means the club moves faster, and then the club has less loft. So let's say if we take a three wood, the kind of standard for three wood is about 15 degrees of loft. Yeah, but if you get a pitching wedge, that's, let's say, 44 to 48, depending on who makes the club. So the more loft you have on the club, the more forgiveness you got in the club.
Yeah.
So many people think that their swing is worse with a longer club. I can tell you, Danielle, when people come to that, I say, okay, let's be real here. So let's take a swing with your pitching wedge. I put them on video. Then I say, let's take a swing with your three wood. Then I put them side by side. I say, can you see you doing the same thing? What happened is with the club is longer and less loft, it magnified the errors on the outcome.
So
that's what's happening. When people understand that, so now it moved them on a better path. You see, I always ask that question to the golfer. Give me, in your golfing knowledge or experience, what will be the most important reason people don't play better golf. So they come with all kind of answer, and that's okay because I need to know where they are. So my answer to this question is just a lack of knowledge first. What I call the intellectual knowledge. People have misconception or they don't know how to use their club and their body. So it's always start with an intellectual knowledge of the concept of how to play better golf. The second knowledge, and that's where the frustration comes in place, it's what I call the sensorial knowledge. You know it intellectually, Daniel, but your body doesn't do it or doesn't listen yet because it's a motor skill. So basically, get knowledge on how to use your club in your body. So you will see that either a three wood or a wedge, basically, this swing is very similar. Of course, with irons, we swing down on the ball. With driver and woods, we swing a little bit more up on it. But the rest of the club face is the same regardless of the club, meaning the direction of the club face direct the ball. So we just need to help people to have a better knowledge of what they do.
Well, my body is definitely not in charge. My brain is in charge. And as I stand over the tee with the club, I say in my brain, you know, let's do this nice swing, you know, let's do a practice, a little waggle here just to get some movement going so you loosen up a little bit. And then this little voice says, you're going to blow it anyway, so what's the point? You know, it's this negativity that just seems to say, yeah, you can go give it a try, but it's not going to work.
Yeah, but Danielle, we control our thoughts. I mean, they come in the brain without necessarily a lot of control, like you just said. Whoops, that pop up in your head. Oh, I will miss it. But what I tell people is, okay, if you have that thought, do not swing. I call that anyways. Okay, swing anyways, and I will see what happens. Anyways in golf is not a good strategy. You need to back off and then clear up your mind. And it's a skill that you need to practice at the facility. I always share with people, I say, okay, you're good until proven otherwise.
Okay.
It's always a good shot. And then I will share one of the golfer that now, that person is now 9.5. That was the goal below. It's a lady. She's in her 60s. And then what she wrote on her card every time she plays, I don't need to be anxious because every shot is a great shot.
I like that.
So, you see, you need to kind of, it doesn't guarantee the good shot, but for sure, it increases the probability of doing a good one versus saying, oh, I will miss it or stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. And then you'll have a better time, too.
Correct. You have more fun.
Yes.
Then now, yes. Often when I bring that up, people say, yeah, but I will be a slow player.
Oh.
I say, what about if you take three or four more shots to do 180 yards? Would you play faster? I don't think so. So even if you have to back off for 2 seconds, 3 seconds, reset the machine, go and play, you do a better shot, you won't be a slow player.
Yeah.
Because the ball will go farther and play.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like all of this. This is making me feel good, except well, what about that dreadful first tee shot?
Okay, the dreadful tee shot, we all go through that, basically. Even the best player in the world, they are nervous, and nervous means you're engaged. It's okay. You don't want to, you know, like, forget about it or not be recognizing that you're nervous. The thing is how you manage it. So often on the first tee, why people are nervous, because could you have people there watching them, even if it's just your partners playing with you. So what happened is that your mind is not at the task at hand if you're thinking, or they watching me. What you have to do is have a clear intention of what you do, solid contact, move the ball from point A on the tee to point B somewhere in play. Don't put pressure on yourself to put it in the fairway. Point B needs to be further than point A. That's the first goal. So meaning the ball went forward. If it's in the fairway, of course it's better. But the goal is put it in play. Now, you got your clear intention of that, and then you stay your clear intention. Now, your action goes on to your intention. So your attention is there, not the fact that people are watching you. Okay. Now, you can train, and we use that every day. We can to block or ignore the distraction. An example will be, let's say you're at home, you're reading a book, and your chair there, and then the TV is on. But if you're so immersed in the story of the book, do you really hear the TV?
No.
The answer is no.
Right.
So don't waste energy or focus on trying to be focused. Just learn not to be distracted by what's around you.
It's interesting, too, because didn't Rory talk about that after...
Yeah, Rory, that's so interesting. Rory, what he said also last victory, after, he says, you know what? I realized that when I was on the golf course, I was playing golf swing, not playing golf. And he elaborated a little bit what he mean by that. Is he was on the golf course and he was too technical, too self-oriented, I will say, instead of be outside of himself. So he says, I finally get back to, okay, see the shot, feel the shot, make a decision. Okay, I want to play, let's say, of course, at his level, but we can apply that to our level as well. Oh, I want to play a little draw here, or I want to play a little fade. So he was playing golf, meaning move the ball, put in the hole, instead of be too swing-oriented.
Yeah. Yeah, so you mean it even happens to, the best of the best?
Oh, yes, it does. And then you can see their performance go sour, I will say, because when they get too swing-oriented, instead of the name of the game is having fun, put the ball in the hole, less stroke possible, by controlling the trajectory, okay, it's controlled by the club selection, controlling the direction, it's controlled by the club face, and controlling the distance. Well, guess what? Those three things are, as soon as you select the club, those three things are pretty much taking care of themselves. Get out of your way and swing.
Get out of your way and swing, and make sure nobody's in front of you.
Yeah.
It's wonderful talking with you. You always bring things into such simple terms. And if we could just go out and practice and have fun and just, play around where you're not really playing for score and just practicing, you'll actually learn more, I think. And we have a winner, Claude. Kurt from, I think it's La EA, but I'm not sure. He wants your book. And he'd like it signed. So we're going to get his address, and we'll send that to you. And, Kurt, congratulations. And Claude Brousseau is a great guy. It's a great book. It's a great book. And you can always, I just put your name, Claude Brousseau, in Sports Illustrated, and I got, boom, I've got your Claude Brousseau, and then I go up to instruction, and there it is. All of your videos are right there online. So it's really easy to find you. I scroll down, and there you are. Watch ball below your feet. Here's how to handle it. Awesome. You're the best. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Instruction, Wailea Golf Academy at Wailea Golf Club on Maui. That's on the Emerald Course side. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Danielle, and thank you for everything you do to promote Hawaiian golf.
Oh, thank you. Aloha. Coming back, Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America, Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award. So many accolades, and we've got one more to tell you about. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evile parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Evile. Power equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
Rainer Garage Doors.
Whatever your trade, you need more customers. Filling your restaurants, buying your cars, renovating high-rises, using your realty company, buying insurance from you, putting air conditioning in their offices. You need customers. Get them by advertising on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have great quality listeners like yourself with ad packages that start at just a few hundred dollars. Call Rick at 808-220-1000 or email him rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Our listeners are consumers too.
Got my new book, Three Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, LPGA Media Excellence Award, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award. Play your best golf now, the game before the game, and every shot must have a purpose. Published in 8 languages. Those are the 3 books he wrote with Vision 54, Pia and Lynn. Covered over, we won't even say how many majors, but it was Thursday night. The Western Pennsylvania Golf Association, founded in 1899, its first Hall of Fame class was inducted in 2013. Ron Cyrak was the MC as Arnold Palmer, Carol Semple Thompson, Jock Hutchison, Lou Worsham, and Henry Frounds were enshrined. On Thursday night, Ron Cyrak was inducted in this year's class of the WPGA HOV, the Hall of Fame, along with Jim Masario, Bob Riley, Jody Renner, and Chuck Scally Sr. And this was from the WPGA announcement. Over the course of his career, if Ron Cyrak hasn't covered it all, he's covered most of it. As a result, he's regarded as one of the most hardworking, affable, knowledgeable guys in the business. We have him right here in the clubhouse. Welcome in, Ron.
I have a few editors who'd argue with the word affable.
You mean you can be grumpy? Demanding?
You've seen my grumpy moments. So. Thanks for having me on, Danielle.
Absolutely.
It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. So you started for the Associated Press, then Golf Digest, Golf World. I mean, you've come from the very beginnings of when this game got popular. Arnold Palmer was in your hometown, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know, the good thing about being my age is that I saw all of Nicklaus Palmer and Gary Player. I saw that entire era. I saw the end of Sam Snead, right in through Tiger Woods and Annika Sorenstam, when arguably one of the best men, one of the best women ever to play the game were playing at the same time. My dad was 35 years old, worked in a steel mill, and he played fast pitch softball. And he a war injury was making it harder for him to run, so he was looking for another sport to play. And in that year, 1955, a local guy, the son of a greenskeeper named Arnold Palmer, won his first professional tournament. And he was in a town about 60 miles away from us. And my dad, you know, saw this local guy, a working guy like him, play golf, and my dad took the game up, and that was 1955. And because of Arnold Palmer, by 1960, every steel mill and factory in western Pennsylvania had a nine-hole golf league. You know, Arnold took the game out of the country club, brought it to the people, and I will. When I was the MC, when Arnold went into the Hall of Fame that night, I said, "You could have a great argument who the greatest player of all time is, but if you wanted to, if the question is who is the most important player of all time, it was Arnold Palmer."
Wow, that is beautiful. You know, we also have to talk about the fact that you're your home course club champion. Congratulations.
Actually, what's even better than that, in the 92 year history of the Chiquessa Club, I am the oldest club champion they've ever had. it goes to show what a pandemic can do for your golf game. I was traveling less and playing more golf.
Well, I'm absolutely thrilled for you. It's been, all things considered, a fabulous year. And I'm also feeling much better. I understood why ANA had to move, that, you know, ANA wasn't prepared to continue. I understand the sponsorship. Was that correct?
Yeah, you know, they knew that the ANA contract was coming up, and they were looking around. And believe me, I know Mike Wan well enough, and make no mistake, Molly is the commissioner now, but this deal was done under Mike's watch. And I know Mike well enough to know that how much he respects the history of the game, and I'm sure that he tried everything he could to find a sponsor who would keep the tournament at Mission Hills in the desert. Mm-hmm. They've been playing there 50 years. He didn't want to leave that. But they found a very, very good sponsor in Chevron. They found a six-year deal, and the LPGA doesn't get too many six-year deals. PGA Tour does. But to get a big brand like Chevron signing a six-year deal, they're going to, right out of the bat, they're going to almost double the purse. And you know, you know that that prize money is just going to continue to go up. So it's going to be, it's always sad to lose a bit of your history, a bit of tradition like that. But I think for the overall growth of the LPGA and the women's game, this is going to be a good deal.
Yeah, I think you're right. Your final sentence on this, I hope they find a course in Houston with water around the 18th green the winner can dive into.
Yeah, I mean, that was one. I mean, the two great things, among the many, many, many great traditions at the Mission Hills, and believe me, it was known as the Dinah when I first started going there, because Dinah Shore and a Colgate-Palmolive executive, David Foster, started that tournament in 1972. And one of the traditions is the pond around the 18th green, the winner dives into that pond. And they even over the years, after 1 year when one of the winners got a little bit ill from the water in the pond, they sort of made it more of a swimming pool so they could have more of an environmental control over it. But there is, next to that pond, as you walk to cross the bridge to the 18th green, a statue of Dinah Shore, and there's the champions wall with a list of all the champions who've won there, and it's hard to walk away from that. But honestly, for the last 6 or 7 or 8 years, it's not been the same atmosphere there as it was when I first started going, when it was a much more of a big party scene. ANA was a great, great sponsor for it, but they are a Japanese-based airline, and most of their corporate entertaining was done for their customers in Japan. And the whole idea of drawing really large crowds wasn't that important to them.
Yeah.
They wanted to have a great event in which to entertain their clients, and they did.
Yes, I completely understand what you mean about the importance was entertaining their clients. The huge increase in the purse, and Chevron giving them 6 years, it's terrific. What I also love seeing, I know we're coming up on the Pelican Women's Championship and the CME Group Tour Championship and the contenders. I mean, some of the points here, I was just looking at Jin Young Ko and Nelly Korda. We're going to talk about that. Inbi Park, Seon Kim, Minji Lee, they're all at the top and they're so close in some cases. But it's been so exciting to watch the Ladies European Tour on television in the States. And Maria Fassi, she didn't win, but it was such a battle. And at night, you know, it was fun seeing night golf being played. And then Lydia Ko, she's won on the LET. It's just been marvelous, I think.
We're already seeing the positive impact that the LPGA's involvement with the LET is having. You know, I mean, essentially, the LPGA's taken the LET in under its wings. And they are, you know, I think they're you're going to see them grow their purses. You're going to see them expand that tour. I'd like to see, right now they've got, the LPGA's got three events in Europe. I'd like to see them add a fourth event and have a European swing that could begin with, say, the Avion Championship, the Amundi Avion Championship, which is a major. And then they have the Scottish Open already. Add another one, like maybe the Swedish Open. Then end it with the Women's British Open, so you'd bookend two majors with two other events in between, and have a European swing the way they have the two Asian swings right now. I think it wouldn't be a bad idea if somehow the LET and the Symetra Tour merged into one tour and became a global feeder tour for the LPGA, you know, and maybe have two-thirds of the events in the United States, one-third of them in Europe and abroad. And that would be another way to grow the game and to provide great secondary tour that has a livable income for the players out there, the way the Korn Ferry Tour does for the men. I mean, you can make a good living on the feeder tour to the PGA Tour. Tough to make a good living on either the LET or the Symetra Tour right now.
Really good idea. Have you brought that to the folks over there at the LPGA?
Oh, no one listens to me.
So, Maria Fassi playing on the LET Tour, Stephanie Meadow both getting sponsor exemptions. They're going to be playing in, it's next week, right? The Pelican Women's Championship.
Yep.
Presented by Konica Minolta and Raymond James at the Pelican Club in Bel Air, Florida. Want to give everybody props. Destiny Lawson is another one. She's the 2021 North Florida PGA Women's Section Champion, Assistant Golf Professional at Ocala, how do you pronounce that? O-C-A-L-A Golf. Ocala?
Ocala.
It is Ocala. Okay, thanks. And the Equestrian Club. I love that place because it's golf and horses. You know, two of
them. Yeah, they played there. They played an LPGA event there a couple of times.
Yeah.
It's a spectacular place.
Yeah, and Destiny, you know, being on the women's section, it's just cool to see that she's not one of the Maria Fassi young kids, right? She's been around for a while, getting a sponsor exemption.
I think some of the LPGA players are realizing something, you know, and we tend to forget this, but it's almost 10 years ago now or something, a couple of hotshot young American men decided that they would hone their games playing on the men's European Tour. And Peter Uihlein and Brooks Koepka went over there, and instead of playing on the Korn Ferry Tour, supplemental tour in the States, they went over, played the men's European Tour, and learned how to win over there. And for Brooks Koepka, it's worked out really well. The guy came back and won four major championships here. So it is a place. I am a big, big believer that there's such a thing as learning how to win. You have to learn how to compete under those pressure situations. It's why I think, I love when I see players like Maria Fassi and Jennifer Kupcho do all 4 years of college, because college golf's gotten so much better. There's so much intense competition there now that you can really learn how to win, how to go to that next step. And we're seeing more of that, and we're seeing more players realize, hey, I can go over and win some events on the LET, and that's going to translate to wins on the LPGA.
All right. Now, let's go to the CME Group Tour Championship. And the contenders, Jin Yong Ko, 478.14. Okay, so next in points is Nelly Korda, 441.06. Jin Yong Ko just jumped over Nelly. And I had a feeling that when the South Koreans came back into play, that we would see them vault up to the top. And Inbi Park is still there, and Seong Kim is there now, you know, and Minji Lee from Australia is there. It's just incredible how strong they are.
Yeah, you know, Jin Young Ko has won four tournaments this year, and they're all since July, three or since September. She's playing really, really well. It's fascinating. The LPGA has a point system for Player of the Year. And right now, Jin Young Ko leads with 176. Nelly Korda is second with 161. They're both playing that last event of the year. If Nelly wins that tournament, she's Player of the Year. Patty Kavitanikant's in third. She has an outside chance. She'd have to win the last two tournaments and have both Ko and Korda. So it's really down to Ko and Korda for there. But, you know, the Golf Writers Association Female Player of the Year Award is voted on by writers. You know, I have a vote in that. I'm pretty sure that you probably have a vote in that also. And it'll be an interesting, because, all right, Jin Young Ko's got four wins. Nelly Korda's got three wins, but one of Nelly's three wins is a major championship, the Women's PGA, and Jin Young hasn't won a major this year. And Nelly's also got the Olympic gold medal, which doesn't factor into the LPGA point system, but certainly factors into how you consider what kind of year somebody had. So the choice between those two, Jin Young Ko and Nelly Korda, as the best player of the year, is going to be really, really fascinating to see.
Yes, yes. But it's all based on points. It's not like the PGA Tour, the guys vote, right?
The LPGA is based on points, and it's coming down to those. Now, here's the other thing that's fascinating. You get Player of the Year, you get a Hall of Fame point for that. So you need 27 points to get into the Hall of Fame. That's a lot, the hardest Hall of Fame in all of sports to get into. All right. You also get a Hall of Fame point for the Vare Trophy, which is the lowest scoring average for the year. Number one on the Vare Trophy right now is Nelly Korda. Number two is Jin Young Ko. There they are, the two of them again. Number three is Inbi Park. Here's the thing. You have to play a minimum of 70 rounds to qualify for the Vare Trophy. None of those three are going to get 70 rounds in this year. So it's going down right now to the person who's actually leading in the Vare Trophy race, Lydia Ko, is fourth, but she's now the leader, and get that, she's played 65 rounds so far. She wasn't going to play the Pelican tournament, but if she had played the CME, she'd have had 69 and felt one round short. So she's added in the Pelicans if she can get enough rounds in to qualify to be the Vare Trophy.
You got to play the numbers.
you got to know. And you know, the fact is, 70 rounds, it's a reasonable number. 70 rounds is 15 four-round tournaments. 15 tournaments is the minimum you need to play to maintain your membership. But there were seven tournaments canceled this year. All in Asia. And these Asian players, like Jin Young Ko and Inbi Park, probably would have gotten there. I'm not exactly sure why Nelly missed as many as she did. She might have missed some cuts in there. But the fact is, the top three who are leading right now for the lowest scoring average, none of those three are eligible to win the Vare Trophy. It goes down to a battle between Lydia Ko and Inji Chun, who are both 4 and 5.
Ron Sarek, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, thanks so much for being on the show. We're going to talk again soon in the next couple of weeks. I got to thank the people who make this show possible. Aloha, Ron. Ko'olina Golf Club, their holiday sale is one day only, and you've got to register to get your shop time. Walk-ins are welcome, but you're going to wait until there's social distancing room inside the shop. And during the sale, ask where to enter your name for a chance to win free round of golf for four at Ko'olina Golf Club. This is the Golf Club Listener Special. It's the Ko'olina Golf Club. Go to ko'olinagolf.com/holiday sale. One day only. It's Saturday, November 20th, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. MD Restoration Flood and Fire Disasters. Oh, my. You need help from MD Restoration at any time of the day, night, morning, doesn't matter. Right away, you give them a call. It's 528-3434. They're licensed contractors, so they can not only do the cleanup, they can do the restoration. Aloha Power Equipment's Sand Island store moved to Alakava. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store across from Home Depot's Evile parking structure. So you'll find all the Aloha Power Equipment you've come to expect to find, like riding mowers, robotic mowers, and so much more. The Waipahu store is open. The new Aloha Power Equipment mega store on Alakava on the other side of the street. Rainer Doors, HawaiiDoor.com. Beautify your home, protect your home from the elements, and keep your loved ones safe. Get a new Rainer Door, 808-676-DOOR. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. We are RadioGolfClub.com. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.